I also mentioned that a Spartan or Athenian victory, in a sense, then did not have the same type of decisive impact in the course of Greek history. And throughout this course, I've stressed that Sparta and Athens were much more alike than unlike, and that an Athenian victory may not have changed very much the cultural achievements and direction of Greek civilization as a Spartan victory. And for a moment, I think I would like to stress that point by comparing that other war from antiquity that is very well documented, and those are the Punic Wars. The Punic Wars, fought between 264 and 241 BC and 218 and 201 BC, that is the First and Second Punic Wars, it pitted the polities of Rome and Carthage. Now, neither of these states were a city-state by any Greek definition. They were far more powerful states. And in a way, the stakes were much higher in the Punic Wars, particularly in terms of Western civilization. Rome had the organizational genius and eventually learned to appreciate its Greek cultural debt. So a Roman victory had a decisive impact on the course of Western civilization, far more than a Spartan or Athenian victory would have done in the Peloponnesian War. You're still dealing in the Peloponnesian War with basically Greek city-states with the same religious conventions, assumptions, and aesthetic values. In the case of the Second Punic War, Rome showed an ability to organize fleets and armies on a scale unimagined in the Greek world. And in part, this underscored, too, the political institutions of Rome and her unique notion of citizenship. In Rome, citizenship was not a birthright. It was not something that was dictated simply by birth. Rome, very early on, in contrast to the Greek city-states, learned that citizenship was a group of political and legal rights, that it could be handed out to loyal allies who could be promoted into various categories. Categories in many ways that the Spartans had, but the Spartans never extended the franchise anything like the Order of Rome. And so at the time of the outbreak of the Second Punic War, Rome had over 1 million citizens and allies eligible for military service. This is extraordinary. This is probably equal to about half the population of the Greek world in 431 BC. And the Romans could call upon sacrifices from these citizens and allies that were beyond anything the Greek states could imagine. In the opening stages of the Second Punic War, the Romans lost at least 100,000 battle deaths in campaigns against Hannibal, and yet the Romans continued to battle the Carthaginian general, and by the conservative count, in 212 BC, the Romans had 280,000 men under arms and a fleet of over 70,000 men. These are extraordinary figures, but those successes in Rome underscored a different type of citizenship, a citizenship to which we are heirs. That is, anyone can become a Roman citizen if they are proved loyal. It is a matter of political rights. It's a matter of thinking Roman rather than being born a Roman. And that was the organizational genius of Rome. And the success of Rome meant that this was a concept to be transmitted to the Western tradition. So in many ways, the Punic War is a more important war in the overall scheme of Western civilization. It is certainly an inspiring one. We have accounts by Livy and Polybius in which the Roman people respond to the sacrifices, in some ways very much like the Athenians and Spartans. And the Roman Senate is always depicted as judicious leadership, collective aristocratic leadership, something that the Spartans would appreciate. And yet it is the Peloponnesian War to which we return. And it is the Peloponnesian War that many scholars have turned to in recent years to find some sort of understanding or lessons in confronting the crises of the Cold War and now the current war against fundamentalists in Islam. And there are two reasons for this. One is that we have in the Peloponnesian War an extraordinary historian, Thucydides, a man who has a level of accuracy and a level of insight and a level of eloquence that is not matched by Livy or by Polybius or any other author. Thucydides sets a standard of history, but he also sets a standard of historical analysis. And I always think when I read Livy that I'm inspired. But when I'm reading Thucydides, I'm forced to reflect, I'm forced to analyze, I'm forced to think. And I'm forced to think on what the consequences and lessons are of the Peloponnesian War. And as I mentioned, this is the first war recorded in which we find citizens who would ultimately have their destinies in their own hands, voting a war, enduring a war, waging a war, and living with the consequences of the war. And these lessons still resonate with us today. And they have resonated also, and this is the second reason we study the Peloponnesian War, they have resonated with writers since the 19th century, the early 19th century, who have looked at the Peloponnesian War for those lessons and have had tried to draw some sort of conclusions from the Peloponnesian War, starting with George Grote. That famous History of Greece, published posthumously in 8 volumes in 1874, in which Grote saw the struggle between Athens and Sparta as essentially the struggle between Great Britain and revolutionary and Napoleonic France.